following is a presentation of Learfield IMG College. From the Georgia Southern Sports Network, powered by Learfield IMG College.
Wake up, Eagle Nation! Touchdown, Georgia Southern!
This is Inside Eagle Nation, your all-access look into Eagle athletics.
Take a look through all the other action in Georgia Southern athletics this past week. A lot of road action. A lot of teams hitting the old I-16 out of town.
Getting on the steel horse and taking us to parts north, south, west, wherever. Can't really go too much farther east.
Now let's return to the Learfield IMG College studios. Here are your hosts, Colin Lacey and Danny Reed.
That's a fact, Jack.
Welcome into another edition of Inside Eagle Nation, episode number 139 here on Inside Eagle Nation. Back to the live edition on Facebook Live this week. After that road trip thing we did last week.
Well, I wouldn't, but I don't think your wife would be happy if you called last week a road trip.
Oh, no, it definitely was a road trip. I think at the end of it, we had the odometer on the car set up. I cleared it at the beginning.
Yeah.
I think we went 30 hours in a car over the week, 1,500 miles. It was a lot of driving, but about half of it was between 2 days on the drive up to Nashville and then coming back from Pigeon Forge on Sunday.
Yeah, last week we had to do it in advance. But now we're back in the same room. You have returned. We're inching towards the end of our summer break. You have returned. We are inching towards the end of our summer break. We head to New Orleans tomorrow. Media Day, of course, takes place on Thursday. We'll be live. We can tell you this now. We'll be live at 1 o'clock on Facebook Live, talking with head coach Chad Lunsford, our two player representatives this year, J.D. King and Todd Bradley, ironically the two guys that are going to wear number one in 2021, and we'll scatter some interviews with Sun Belt Conference Commissioner Keith Gill. He just got a contract extension last week, and we'll talk with various other head coaches throughout the day. Is finally back where we can see everybody. We didn't have one last year.
Yeah,
because they cut it off.
We told we haven't got one last year.
Yeah, we were thinking they were going to shift to the virtual setup once COVID hit, but nothing ever came out because I guess by that point, making an announcement was fruitless because camps were starting, so nobody was going to have time to do that anyway. But we'll be in person. Can't wait for my steak and eggs. If we're lucky enough to have the steak and eggs
or
for breakfast. Or some toast, maybe half a bagel, whatever they're going to give us this year.
You just got to make sure Jay Walker doesn't take all the sausage patties.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Because he's the one that probably gets up before everybody else. Who would be the earliest riser? Because Barry McKnight isn't going to be there.
He's at SEC Media Days right now.
So he'll be just up the road in, is that Hoover? They have SEC Media Days?
Yeah.
So he will be over there. He would be my pick for the early riser.
Well, we see him because he's doing his show on Radio Row, or the Sunbelt's version of Radio Row. I don't know how that's going to look this year since we're not in the Superdome. We're going to be at the Sheraton New Orleans. I don't know what that's going to look like, but he's there doing the early part of his morning show with John Longshore, which bases out of Montgomery. So when we're there getting to set up our Facebook Live, Barry's in the back half of his morning show, then he's out of there before most people are actually getting there.
He's one of the more excited people at 6:30 in the morning I've ever seen.
Yeah, but he does that every day.
Yeah.
He's not just having it up for everybody coming in to see him at Media Day.
No, he's not just getting excited for Gail and Ralph and all those people that call into his show.
Going to Montgomery, since everything is so close to each other downtown, the restaurant is, I think, Gail's on the Square. Or Gail something. Gail is the owner of a restaurant in Montgomery, which is right nearby the Crampton Bowl, right nearby Riverwalk Stadium, where we were for the baseball tournament this year. And by the way, I think that's going to be a really good spot for the baseball tournament for the next 4 years after that. Yeah, but Gail's actually the owner of the restaurant. This isn't just a random Gail that calls in. That's someone he has on every week. But we won't get to hear that this year, but it'll just be nice to get back and see everybody again if we didn't get it last year.
Media Day is always extremely busy, but it's one you need a little extra sleep after, but it's a lot of fun to get to hang out the night before going to the House of Blues.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a Faye Dodo this year, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, the Faye Dodo went RIP for this year after hosting people for a couple of years, and there was 1 year where the event was at a nearby bar/bowling alley.
Yeah.
I think that might have been my first year. That might have been the summer of 16. But they're looking to incorporate new ways of getting people together on that first night just to make sure, hey, everybody's here. This is the Rouser, what we're going to talk about tomorrow. And then the day itself starts pretty early, and it stretches. I mean, they have content all day long. It's going to be on ESPN+. Matt Stewart, Rocky Boyman are going to have all 10 head coaches on throughout the day. Of course, we'll have our people on sometime after 1 o'clock on Thursday afternoon. But to think that how last year went, we didn't know what it was going to look like, how it actually ended up going, and to know that the only two teams in the country that played a 12-game regular season are in this conference, and the only team to play 12 regular season and a bowl game is our school, Georgia Southern. I don't know what it's going to look like this year, but I'm hoping it's going to be something close to what we saw the first 39 years of Georgia Southern football.
You talked about this year's Sunbelt Media Day going to be at the Sheraton Hotel down in New Orleans. Everybody's asked me, why are we not in the Superdome this year? There's construction going on inside the Superdome that knocks out the ballrooms that we normally would use.
Right.
So the ESPN Plus is going to be originating out of the Superdome. The Sunbelt just put out a couple of minutes ago, kind of unveiling their new studio that's inside the Superdome, inside the conference offices. So that is where the ESPN Plus broadcast will be coming from, but there's not enough room for everybody in the Superdome with all the construction. So they will shuttle the different coaches and players to the ESPN location and then come back to the Sheraton where everybody else is going to be.
And the House of Blues, that they're going to ferry everybody to House of Blues tomorrow night for the couple of hours with food, drink, just to just get everybody back together. So we're not looking through a computer screen and we're not just seeing each other whenever we go somewhere or whenever somebody comes to us. This is one of those events that we've talked about before that it's just nice to get as close as you can to getting everybody together at the same time. Baseball, we were close to it, but then you knock out some of the football guys. We don't get to see Joe Cashin from Coastal because he doesn't call much baseball. You go with football this year with Barry not being there because he's at Hoover with an SEC media day. We're also not going to see a couple of other people, and we don't see our non-basketball players or our non-basketball or our non-football participating teams. And then the basketball tournament, we get closer and closer to that, but again, there are some guys that call football and don't call basketball. So we patch all of it together. Oh, yeah, we've all been together. It just takes all three events to make that the case.
It's going to be fun to get to see everybody down in New Orleans the next couple of days. But a couple of news notes to get to in Georgia Southern Athletics this week. A new look for GSEagles.com on the website unveiled last week. But part of the reason we are going to show you what the new website looks like, and part of that is because where you will find us for the GSEagles.com side of the podcast will come out. So you can see the new look to GSEagles.com. But up here at the top where it says Watch and Listen, the podcast used to be under the Fan Zone tab. It has moved over to the Watch and Listen. Just hover over that and then the Inside Eagle Nation podcast, and that is where you will find all 139 now episodes. Coming up in just a few minutes after we finish the live version, we will put it up online, and that's exactly where that will be on GSEagles.com. But a new look, good look to the website for GSEagles.com.
Cleaner look, organizing some things a little bit differently. In our case, I think it benefits what we do through Learfield IMG College because you get our full affiliates listed. You get the direct link towards our audio side because audio is always free when you're listening to us, whether that's football, basketball, or baseball. And we've said this before, Georgia Southern Football, the radio network, is the largest in the entire group of five. We actually found that out through some summer research, I want to say 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's something we're extremely proud of, and we've got to give a lot of credit to the guys that came in before us. We know that Dave Nitz was the original voice of the Eagles, 67-70, and then Nate Hirsch basically creating and then expanding the network, and then Chris Blair doing the outstanding things that he did with you guys for 10 years, stretching that work out to multiple states and to make it the biggest in the group of five, making that transition from the FCS to the FBS.
We'll have to redo the list and see if we've jumped anybody the last couple of years.
I think we were 33rd the last time we checked.
I can't remember. Somebody was asking me about it the other day, and I can't remember, and I cannot find that little piece of paper to save my life.
We were definitely higher than quite a few Power 5 schools, and I want to say we were somewhere around 33rd in terms of total radio network size for football broadcasts.
I remember we were the second largest in the state, the only Georgia, the only larger than us, but we were larger than Georgia Tech.
That's all we really need to know on that one.
And there was a number of Power 5 schools, I think more than Wisconsin. I think more than a lot of national brands as far as college football is concerned. But we will update that list over the next couple of weeks and let you know what our findings are. But other news and notes in Georgia Southern Athletics this week. Sun Belt Conference Media Days, we mentioned Todd Bradley Glenn and J.D. King are going to be player representatives for Georgia Southern, as well as head coach Chad Lunsford. So those are the three representing Georgia Southern down at Sun Belt Conference Media Day. Obviously, you get two players and your head coach that come down. They will have time at the podium. They'll have time on ESPN+, and then they will go through, as you like to call it, the car wash of Radio Row. Going to be a busy day for all of them, but always fun to get down to New Orleans.
See, we mentioned the switching of the sites from the Superdome to the Sheraton. At the Superdome, we have that back left corner where it is probably 15 degrees. It is so cold.
It's fantastic.
And Adam Hunsucker with ULM, their beat writer for the New Star, he makes it a point every year to say how cold it is in that part of the Superdome. I don't know what the temperature is going to be at the Sheraton. I don't know if they're going to separate us into a couple of rooms, if we're just going to have one large ballroom like a number of media days have had before COVID hit. But that'll be an experience just to see what it looks like and how we're going to be set up.
Got a couple of academic honors to pass along your way. Georgia Southern Rifle, they have six players in the 2020-2021 SoCon Academic Honor Roll, which you have to have a 3.0 or higher. Lillian Herring, Ashley Judson, Gabby Morrow, Aaron Ballard, Bella Gomez, and Amy Visconti, all on the Academic Honor Roll for the SoCon. Lillian Herring and Ashley Judson, along with Gabby Morrow as well, on that Academic Honor Roll. Ashley Judson and Bella Gomez made commissioner's list, which is a 3.8 or higher. And they also put 3 on the Academic All-SoCon, which covers all sports, not just rifle, but all sports in the SoCon. Lillian Herring, Ashley Judson, and Gabby Morrow on the Academic All-SoCon for all sports.
Have you gotten your preseason football poll to vote for the SoCon again yet?
I don't get to vote. I get to vote in the SoCon still.
That's what I mean, the SoCon.
Oh, SoCon, yeah.
Yeah, Colin's been a voting member of the SoCon for the last 7 years, ever since we left the league.
You keep sending it, I'll keep voting.
Phil Perry must really like you.
I guess so. I see his name pop up in my mailbox more than most.
But did put in, I get a chance to vote for Sun Belt football, do the polls for both the East and the West, and then they did a wrinkle this year. You're not allowed to vote for your own players in regards to preseason all-conference honors for various positions. But we get a chance to pick who we think should be in a certain position. I'm curious.
Even
to
the
see,
media doesn't get to vote for their own players?
They switched it up this year. Typically, in the postseason, you don't get to vote for your own people, but this year in the preseason, so, for instance, I could not vote for Derek Canteen for preseason first-team cornerback. Unfortunate. He's going to be, but not because of a vote that they didn't get from us.
It seems odd.
A little bit different, but
normally the media can vote. The coaches have never really been able to vote for their own players most of the time. But the media, that's new and interesting.
But that'll be coming out, I would think, at some point over the next couple of days. We'll find out the preseason polls. The West, I think, is pretty set on being Louisiana as number one, and then whoever else is going to be 2 through 5. I think the East could be wide open. Look, I know what Coastal did last year. I know what App State has done for the last 6 years. But then you've got a Troy team that should be a lot better, a Georgia State team that's got everybody back on offense. You got all 11 starters coming back. Quad Brown, a really good quarterback. And then with Georgia Southern, you've got some major pieces gone. Of course, a new QB with Shy Wertz moving on to Louisville. You'll need 2 new inside linebackers with Raynard Ellis and Rashad Byrd finishing up their time in Statesboro. But I'm very curious to see how people seeded the 5-team East.
I'll be interested to see, because we've talked about, I don't necessarily like preseason rankings and all that. It's just, I know you have to have them. Like, I know it's part of it.
Yeah.
But people that put so much stock into it, that's another story for another day. But I think this is going to be the first of the next couple of years where you're going to see so much fluctuation between what the preseason said and what actually happens in the season because of all the transfers that you see. You've got so many, especially Power 5 transfers, coming into the Sun Belt at different positions, a couple of different quarterbacks around the league coming from Power 5 schools, but it's so weird to see how those are going to play out, because I think you're going to see guys like, I mean, you look at Grayson McCall from Coastal and what he was able to do coming into Coastal for his first year in the Sun Belt last year. You have a story like that, and then you also have somebody that's coming from a Clemson, an LSU, a big-time school like that, coming to a team in the Sun Belt. They think he's going to be the next Tracy Ham, and that's the last you ever hear of it.
I'll tie one together. Arkansas State has a returning starter at quarterback in Lane Hatcher. There was a two-man tandem. Logan Bonner left with Blake Anderson to go to Utah State, but Hatcher is the prohibitive starter in Butch Jones' first year in Jonesboro. But they've added former Florida State quarterback James Blackman. Now, he's not going to get there until they have fall practice in advance of the season, so he'll be incorporated relatively soon. But that's somebody that could absolutely push Lane Hatcher. We didn't see them last year. We didn't play Arkansas State. But Hatcher, 19 touchdowns, 2 interceptions for an offense that was number 2 in the country in passing. But you throw Blackman in, somebody that has ACC experience at Florida State, I would think he has to at least push Lane Hatcher to win that job.
And you even look at somebody like Chase Bryce that's coming into Appalachian State.
Yeah.
We saw him when he was at Clemson. Well, we didn't see him.
Towards the end of the game.
Yeah.
But he didn't start. That was a guy named Trevor Lawrence that came in.
He was all right.
He was okay.
But he went to Clemson, then went to Duke, and now he's going to Appalachian State. So that's his third school. How does he translate to what they're doing up atop the mountain?
And you know how important the quarterback is in App's offense, not just because he's handing to a stable of running backs and been over 200 yards rushing for the last 6 years, but the quarterback has been involved in the running game. Yeah. Taylor Lamb was a great passer, but he could run. Zach Thomas, a really good runner. Bryce is not really known for his feet. And that was a Duke offense that turned the ball over a ton last year. They led the country in turnovers. But you slide him in. Does App continue to roll? Or do they finally take another step back now that Sean Clark gets his second year as head coach? This will be his first media day. He didn't get media day last year in year one.
Still got to wait and see if tomorrow on our flight down to New Orleans, if we see our buddies Sean Elliott and Jamie Chadwell. Because I think the last, 3 media days we've been to, we've been on the same plane as them?
Yeah, we'll reveal a little bit of this. A lot of the travel is waiting. So we've run into at least Sean Elliott from Georgia State or Jamie Chadwell from Coastal or both just sitting in the terminal waiting for our plane. A lot of times we're on the same flight. And then we're on the shuttle back to the hotel. We're already doing each other in the lobby. So it's as if we know them just as well as our own guys.
The best was, I guess it would have been July of 2019. We're sitting at the gate waiting for our plane to board, and here comes Jamie Chadwell. He gets the biggest grin on his face. He goes, "Well, we meet again."
And he's got his – usually he'd be wearing his suit, but he's got his suit with him.
Yeah.
And he knew who we were right away. So it is a really close-knit group, not just the people that we work with in Statesboro. We've talked about our relationships with the other broadcasters, but even the other coaches.
And that's what I like about media days, especially when they had the Fade O'Doe, and I'll be interested to see how it translates to just going to the House of Blues this year of – it's one of the few times where it's a casual event where you're just sitting there talking to different people. You could have a conversation with Brant Freeman, the broadcaster from Texas State, Sean Elliott, the head coach at Georgia State, and name any of the head coaches, broadcasters, conference officials, any of those people you could be having a conversation with in 5 minutes.
And not having to necessarily worry about, okay, am I far enough away from you? Do I need to conceal myself? Look, we know what's still going on with COVID. I'm not trying to make light of it, but it's the idea that there are more than enough people, especially in this league, that have taken the responsibility to get vaccinated, and we can have what will feel like a normal evening.
And it's different there, too, because, yes, you've got coaches and media, but a lot of the what you think of mainstream media aren't at the event. It's more of the just team broadcasters, people affiliated with a team. You mentioned Adam Hunsucker, the beat writer for them, will be there. But it's more of, okay, everybody doesn't have a microphone. They don't have a notepad. It's just sitting there talking as people,
it's not chill.
As coaches and media.
And people are not on the record.
No.
We're not asking prying questions
about the record stops at the door.
Who's going to be quarterback? Yeah. How many people do you actually have back? You can't have all 11 starters back, but that's another storyline in and of itself, especially at the G5 level, with last year being the COVID waiver year. anybody that wanted to could exercise that year to come back and play. Last year would have been the mulligan.
Yeah.
Now at the higher levels, at the P5 level, you're still going to lose your guys to the NFL. That's just how it is. But at this particular level, you're going to have a lot more COVID seniors. And we had the stat a couple of weeks ago that almost everybody in the country has at least three starting offensive linemen coming back. In this league, I think the fewest number of starters that a Sun Belt team has returning this year is 16.
Wow.
That's of everybody.
Jeez.
Georgia Southern has 17 coming back, depending on how you want to cut the offensive line. You could bump that up another. But everybody just has so much coming back, so you would think, well, Coastal's just going to keep on keeping on. Louisiana's going to dominate. App's going to win its 9-10 games, be in it for the East. Troy, like we mentioned, should be better. Georgia State should be better. Who in the West is going to take a step forward to challenge the Cajuns? This is going to be very, very intriguing.
All right, we're jumping the gun with previewing Sun Belt football. We get fired up.
You'll get a chance to hear all that again on Thursday afternoon, but at least we've got a groundwork laid. We'll talk with Todd Bradley Glenn. We'll talk with J.D. King, Coach Lunsford, Commissioner Gill to get his comments on just how good last year was from a national viewership standpoint, getting his contract extension, and just how much better it can get in this league.
And then like we've done in the past, we'll visit with all the head coaches of teams that Georgia Southern will play this year, and then you may sprinkle in a couple of our friends that are down there as well.
So no Terry Bowden this year. If you want to hear Terry Bowden talk, you can find one of his interviews from ESPN Plus. But since the Eagles and Warhawks don't match up this year, we won't get a chance to visit with him.
Continuing with the academic awards for Georgia Southern Athletics, women's tennis earns the ITA Academic Honors. The team carried a 3.61 GPA.
That's awesome.
Individually, seven Eagles earned ITA Scholar Athlete distinctions that must carry a 3.5 or higher GPA. Sarah Bernardino, Paula Bouchardet, Mila Harding, Paula Ejos, Sonia Karen, Nadia Meyer, and Charlotte Van Dyen all had the individual ITA Scholar Athlete distinctions. Again, that's a 3.5 or higher in a team GPA of 3.61. That's pretty incredible.
This is a feather that Jared Benko is sticking in his cap.
There's a couple feathers that are going to be handed out. But we've talked about it with Sean McCaffrey a lot, how he puts so much of an emphasis on the total student athlete, making sure taking care of the classroom, taking care of on the court, and has done a really, really good job with that women's tennis program.
It's no coincidence that they just won their first conference championship,
no,
too.
It is no
coincidence at all. That has been building for a couple of years. I'm just so, so happy for him, especially with all that he had to go through. And that's one of those programs that's doing this.
No doubt. Final news note this week, last week, about this time, you had the MLB draft going on, had two Georgia Southern Eagles selected in day two of the draft, which would have been last Tuesday. Nick Jones was picked in the 8th round by the Los Angeles Angels. Jordan Jackson was picked in the 10th round by the Seattle Mariners. It's the 5th time in the last 8 drafts that Georgia Southern has had multiple draft picks. I heard that Jordan did sign with Seattle. Haven't heard about Nick yet, but I know Jordan did sign his contract with the Seattle Mariners. Also former Georgia Southern Eagle and Jonathan Edwards signing with a free agent contract with the Los Angeles Dodgers as well.
And he was going to play for West Georgia following his transfer from Georgia Southern, but still technically off of the roster. He signs with the Dodgers, and it makes you think about what Nick Jones did this year. It makes you think about how much Jordan was on the uptick towards the end of the year. His start against the Raging Cajuns in the semifinals this year is one of the better performances I can recall from a starter. He had a stretch of 18 straight guys retired, and as tight as that game was, he had to be that good in a game that ultimately went extra innings. I'm still shocked that Mason McWhorter didn't hear his name called, and there's been no indication of a free agent contract just yet. That doesn't mean it isn't going to happen, but super happy for Nick and for Jordan and for Jonathan as well, somebody that didn't throw a ton of innings here, but we always knew he had the talent. Hopefully, professionally, he'll be able to put all that together.
So two Eagles selected in the MLB draft, both of them on day two of the draft, and then one coming in the free agent selection or a free agent contract as well. We will keep you up to date if anybody else for Georgia Southern baseball picks up a free agent contract for Georgia Southern baseball. But for now, we continue with our summer check-ins. We've gone throughout the entirety of the radio crew, except for the head man.
Now he's the head man.
It's so weird to call him the head man still.
Our boss.
But he is. And now we check in with Terry Harvin.
This week's summer check-in, we check in with the man, the myth, the legend. Frank calls him the leg, Terry Harvin. Terry, appreciate you joining us.
I always love it when Frank calls me the leg. Anyway, I don't know which leg he's talking about. Could be the right or the left.
That's true.
Yeah.
You got a 50-50 shot.
He really does. It doesn't matter. Both of them look pretty puny these days. So, my wife reminds me, since I have forgotten the whole workout thing when you get older.
Before we dive into your story and how you got to this point, in the last couple of months now, it's been you taking over the new role as general manager for Georgia Southern Sports Properties, and I know it's something that you're excited about, a little bit different than what you've done in the past, being involved with Georgia Southern on the foundation side, but now being in charge of the entire sports properties, which means you're now our boss, which a little different.
Yeah, well, and that's part of the reason why I called you here today, Colin, to talk about your evaluation. And anyway, I'm just kidding, of course. It has been a little crazy. You know the old term of drinking out of a fire hose? Yeah, there's been about three or four of them, but it's been enjoyable, and it required a move. So my family and I, we moved to Statesboro from Macon. We lived in Macon since 1998, so that's where our girls grew up. But the girls are grown now, and I can't keep them at a certain age, unfortunately, as much as I'd like to. But Madeline is up at Tennessee getting her grad work. She graduated from Georgia Southern undergrad. Sarah is up in Athens at Georgia, and she's entering her senior year. And Jillian, the Gigi, she is coming here this fall. So
so you're following Gigi.
That's, you know, it's funny you say that, because I've always teased her that we were going to follow her wherever she went to school. I was joking, Jillian. I didn't really mean it, but it did work out that way. This opportunity came open, and I think it's probably the third or fourth time in the last 15 years or so that I've been doing the radio here. And the timing was right. Excited. So, like I said, we made the move. Live in a great neighborhood. Very blessed to sell the house back in Macon. Found a great place here. And equally as important, my wife landed a job, Lori. She is now assistant principal at Maddie Lively Elementary School here in Bullitt County. So very excited about that, which that school is literally 3 miles from the house.
Even better.
Yeah, it's great. I said, you know, you can save on gas, you can walk. Yeah, that didn't go over well at all, as you would imagine. But great team. Excited to be here working with, you know, Chris Davis, whose background is in the multimedia rights space. He led those efforts at Auburn. He's the deputy AD, so he has a wealth of experience. And of course, Jared Benko and his vision and what he's doing as the athletic director here, and the whole athletic administration, and on the academic side, Dr. Marrero, and what they have planned for the future. So I want to be a part of it again.
One of the big things, getting to know you the last almost 10 years now, being able to see the importance that you put on relationships, whether it be with those Chris, Jared, Dr. Marrero, or now transitioning those relationships over to the partners. I know that's a big part of what you do.
Partners and the team here. Because at the end of the day, it's really all you have is a relationship. Because, you know, there's that old saying, people don't care how much you know till they know how much you care, right? But it does come down to relationships. And really, I want to say the university athletic department feels the same way, because it's a tradition. University has always had a strong relationship with Statesboro and Eagle Nation. The whole town and gown is alive and well here in Statesboro, which is a great thing. I wanted to be a part of it. But, yeah, relationships are huge, because it's more than just business, so to speak. And when you have a strong relationship with someone, they know you're going to do what you say you're going to do, and they're going to get it done. They trust you. It's about trust, right? So it's about caring. You know, that acronym I love to use about care, communications and accountability, relationships is the R in engagement. So that's how that all fits in together. And the ultimate person at relationships, if you want to tie it all back into sports, is you just have to look at Coach Russell. Everybody knows or remembers Coach Russell's a great coach, a great storyteller, very engaged. He had great relationships. That's what with his players, with the community. He was just a good man. So anyway, being fortunate and blessed to have played with him, or for him, I should say, maybe it's carried over from there.
Being able to see you in this role has been a lot of fun for me, of how excited you get whenever you get a new partner on with Georgia Southern Sports Properties. Take us through some of those new partners that we're going to see this year.
You'd rather hear that than the profanity you also hear, right? You know, there's a reason there's a mute button in the broadcast booth right up there during the games, right? Little sidebar there. You know, I'm kind of the fan up there in the radio booth, so I get as some of you get excited in the stands or at home watching the game, if you could visualize me in the booth, I'm equally as excited or mad.
So if Terry gets quiet, he may not be getting quiet. It's just
I've just muted myself, right. So there's a reason for that. But anyway, no, we do get very excited about a lot of exciting things happening. Obviously, everybody knows about the indoor practice facility we're working on to get built. Jared and Chris and Eric Reisner and his staff over the Athletic Foundation doing a great job with that. You got the Convocation Center coming online, but we have some great new partners too. And you're going to see a different look inside the stadium as well, especially when it comes to food offerings. So we'll get more into that. And also, alcohol sales is allowed in the venue. You saw where we started that in baseball this year. Mm-hmm. Did a little dry run, like that play on words. Okay, not so dry. But we did a wet run, if you will, during baseball season, and we'll roll that out during football season. We have a great partner in Southern Eagle, which is very exciting about that. That distributor for Budweiser and Mick Ultra and some exciting things there with the seltzers. I'm pumped about that. But very excited about Select Source Staffing, for instance, owned by David Webb, a Georgia Southern grad. We're going to have the Select Source starting lineups across all sports. So that is not going to be just a radio thing. And that kind of goes back to what we're doing. In the old days of our business and this business that we're in, it was kind of like you go out and sell, hey, you want 2 billboards, 2 tickets, and we'll give you 2 radio spots. Hey, you happy? You know, now it's when we say multimedia, we're a full digital company. So it's across all our platforms. So we can do geo-targeting. We can do a lot of different things when it comes to the website. Social media presence is strong. We get a lot of reviews on that from the university. Nationally ranked, I want to say inside the top 25 of all universities. That's strong. So, yes, we still have the outfield signs at baseball. You have the ribbon LED boards at basketball and football. Yes, we still have radio. Yes, we'll have the little bar tops down on the field. We're going to be doing some other exciting things as well. Some new food partners coming on board with us. So Eagle Nation, I highly encourage you, if you're in Statesboro, to go buy Your Pie. Your Pie is also a Georgia Southern grad. That's Joe Hunt. Joe Hunt used to be with franchising with Zaxby's, for instance, and he bought the franchise here in Statesboro. He also owns the one downtown Savannah. And then Sachuro's. Very pumped about that. Love me that.
That seems right up your alley.
It really. Well, you know the whole taco in a cup thing, right? Right. So I'm pretty pumped about that. And those fine gentlemen, Doug Purrier, for instance, and Brian, they're out of Blackshear, Georgia, and they own 8 of the Sachuro's across southeast Georgia. So indoor climate, excited about that. Great company, very big. They're going to do some exciting things when it comes to kicking field goals. Yeah, so and that's just a few of the sponsors that we've, new partners that have joined us here in the last month or so. And they're excited about the football season, too. I know Eagle Nation is ready to get back to football, but we have basketball season right around the corner. You have soccer that's going on, of course, and we have a new softball coach, new women's golf coach. The golf program's taken off. Volleyball camps are going on right now. There'll be 3 volleyball tournaments just here in September to October time frame. So Chad Willis and the men's soccer, women's soccer, it can go on and on and on. Swimming, the rifle team. So a lot of exciting things to be a part of, and I'm, as you could probably pick up on, I'm pretty excited to be here.
Dive back into your story. You've been a part of Eagle Nation.
Which one? Because I tell so many.
Well, we're going to get to some of your stories, but you've been a part of Eagle Nation for a long time now. Played here at Georgia Southern, everybody knows. Been involved with athletics in a couple of different roles throughout the years, but your first memories of Georgia Southern, whenever you were being recruited to come to Statesboro, what was it that really drew you to be a part of Statesboro and Georgia Southern?
Well, I don't know if they recruited me or I was begging for them to come let me. But I came up here 1986. And yeah, I'm old. And I grew up a Florida Gator. Remember that story?
It's okay. You converted.
Yeah, I converted. And it was funny. My very first game in college was against the Florida Gators. And the last time I went back was a member of the radio crew and we drained the swamp. But I digress.
Hey, now.
Yeah, sorry about that, brother. We beat y'all. Anyway, so My first experience in Statesboro was bringing my own footballs up here. And Mom and Dad drove me up here. Didn't know when we were going to get here. Seemed like it'd take forever. But it was really only 3.5 hours away. But it probably took forever. And when we got to Statesboro, met them at the practice field. Mom and Dad dropped me off. They went over to Wendy's, which was across the street, and watched from there as I kicked footballs for Coach Mike Healy, who was the defense coordinator at the time, who was from Florida. He coached at Bishop Kenny High School in Jacksonville, Florida, so he knew the school that I went to. He was the defense coordinator here. And then also the kicking coach and head scouting person at the time, Doc Spurgeon. So I kicked for them on the practice field, on the soccer field, actually. It wasn't even the practice field. It's the soccer field. And then from there, they invited me back into camp, which started in August. And so I was fired up about it. And then I was introduced to these things called gnats. And I'm not talking about the restaurant. I'm talking about those little irritating little things. And humidity. It was humid down in Florida, but this is a different level. And it was fun. And I'll tell you, my early, so that's the original, I guess, my first experience here. And then you got to see Coach Russell in full swing, because when I got back, he would send letters to the players during the summer and calendars. We'd work out on it and would put little notes on it. You know, like it's Sunday, go to church. Don't forget, if you're not at home, don't forget to call your mom and daddy. You know, things like that. Go do 100 more whatever, just one more time. And those were the handwritten little notes that he would send on this calendar. It was fantastic. And again, we get back into camp. We start competing for the job. I was surrounded by some great kickers. Pat Parker, Rob Witten, Stan Stipe was our legendary long snapper, of course. And then there's Tim Foley. Can't beat Tim, of course. And those guys were not just good at what their craft was. They were good people that we're still all very tight with today. So that original group, I call them the old guys, or the dirty birds, if you will, we're still on a big text message thread together. And a lot of the old football players, I'm the youngest of the group. So Charlie Waller, Tim Durden, you know, John Richardson, J.R., Brad Bowen, those guys are Thomas Porter. Great stories around Thomas that I cannot speak on the air. But sorry, Thomas. But a lot of those guys, Jeff Banks, I'm thinking of Darren Alford, you know, just those guys are all part of this group that we're still connected with to this day. And it started back in 1986 in August of me just walking out there and them accepting us in. Rod Eichler, you know, still talk with Rod to this day, text a good bit. So even if he is a Yankee up in Jersey, we let him down here.
I know a big part of your story around Georgia Southern revolves around Georgia Southern radio. You became the color analyst in 2006.
Is that what it was?
I think it was
06. Wow, that's old.
2006, it was your first year. Chris Blair was coming in to be the new voice of the Eagles. Talk about that process.
Don't forget Chambers.
Oh, yeah, Chambers was in here, too. Russ came down eventually. And then this
little skinny kid from Woodstock area, I think.
Yeah, used to be.
They got buried. That's what happens.
Yeah. But talk about that process of becoming part of the radio crew. I know Sam Baker was heavily involved with you getting back into radio, but what was that process like? And then your kind of first year of you and Chris starting to become a friendship that has lasted way longer than 06.
He calls me partner. Hey, partner. You know, actually started a little bit before that. Legendary broadcaster Nate Hirsch, of course, was here for years. And Nate actually gave my first chance at radio. Doing some high school ball games for him. He owned the local radio stations here as well. Legendary caller, and of course, old Coach Frank Inman and the color, boy howdy. And they were a great team. So we had our work cut out for us. You replace or step into their shoes. You just don't. You just create a whole nother pair of shoes, right? Because those guys are up on a pedestal. And the legendary calls throughout history from them. But, yeah, that was a difficult time, I will say, because the coach that year was not very good football-wise, and I'm trying to think of a politically way of saying it nice. It just wasn't a very good year for wins and losses and with the fan base, and I think they all like to use what do the fans say he who must not be named, like a Harry Potter thing or something. Right. You know, it's kind of funny, but well, not so funny, but you get what I'm getting at. But Chris and I met literally over the phone. Ryan Chambers and I were working together in Macon. I had a sports radio show, and Ryan was a sidekick on there and producer, but he was also with the show on me, a vital part of the show, and so many great memories doing that. Ryan has a TV background, so when that change was being made and they were doing the interviews, Sam Baker brought me in the mix at the time. And Chris obviously stood out. And then Chris and I started that conversation talking. We just hit it off right away. And then he said, I need to find a sideline guy. And I said, what are you looking for? Or he said, a sideline person, I should say. And I said, what are you looking for? He started telling me all these things. I said, so they don't have to be a Georgia Southern person. He goes, no, as long as they become one, you know. And I said, I think I got a guy. I got a guy, you know, and I talked to Ryan Chambers, and obviously he met Chris. They hit it off right away, and Ryan came, moved down here, and actually started selling, which is, you know, I think he always told me he couldn't sell, and I was like, you're full of it, and now that's all he does is sell. He's good at what he does, and one of the best in the business when it comes to MMR, but great on the radio as well, as you already know, and we just kind of gelled. It all worked out. We had Spike Mighton appear as our as our spotter. And he was a hoot, and he's up in Macon with a good buddy of mine, Mike Napier, his dad. So he came to Georgia Southern, but it was a great time. And we got through year one. It was tough, you know, because when you're losing, everything sucks, right? Let's be real. I mean, your team's losing, the popcorn sucks, the parking's horrible. You know, everything's bad. Especially the radio guys, right?
Especially the new ones.
Especially the new ones who just replaced legendary great Nate Hirsch, right? And you know, it was rough. Chris got beat up quite a bit. So James, I got a little bit of a pass because at least I played here, so people were nicer to me about it. I don't blame them. You know, one of the strengths about Georgia Southern fans is their passion. People would love to have the passion that we have here at Georgia Southern and the connections. So anyway, those are some of the early days. And then obviously it went on and capped it off with, as you mentioned, the great call with the University of Florida, Hey Now, for Chris Blair. And there were so many others. It wasn't just football, baseball, basketball, and whatnot. And I still use, when you let me do baseball games, I still use Ryan's Goodbye, Mr. Wilson home run call as I dropped everything. Sorry about that. See, Ryan, I got all excited thinking about a home run. Goodbye, Mr. Wilson. Anyway, in that case, I should say goodbye, Mr. iPhone. I don't think I broke it. I might have. But anyway, good times, and it's come a long way. And again, it goes back to, you think about legacies. So the legacy of Nate, moving on to the legacy, and then Chris Blair putting his touch on it that we still see to this day. And now you have the legacy of Danny and you and the rest of us, and Russ and Frank and myself, and it'll continue on, and that's a good thing.
There's a lot of stories that we could tell, and I don't know that we have time for it. There's a lot of stories we could tell.
I was
going
to say, you know exactly where I was about to go with that.
But one of the stories that I love, and I know you love telling.
Uh-oh, you didn't prep me.
No, I didn't. People around here call you the governor a lot.
Oh, God.
And that nickname kind of started with our buddy over at Elon and Taylor Durham.
Old Taylor. Thank you, Taylor Durham. Hugh Durham's son up at Elon. Back then, and it was probably around 6 and 7 and 8 in those time frame. We were playing in the SoCon, obviously, and Elon was one of those teams that we had the radio crews, we got along well with them. Other than that, the teams didn't care for each other, and understandably so. But Chris and myself had sports coats. And now, some of you younger folks won't remember this, but back in the old days, who had the yellow sports coats and had the logo on there?
CBS?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know who it was. But anyway, the attitude was, just because we're on the radio, when you travel, you still represent the school. That's the way we looked at it. Look good, dress nice, you know, just don't show up with a wrinkled shirt and yada, yada, yada. I like sports coats. So if you know me, you know I like sports coats. My wife gets mad at me because I have closets of sports coats. So we had a sports coat, and so Taylor, being a smart aleck and a great personality, I come walking in, and I have a sports coat on, and I think I had maybe a ball cap on, I'm not sure if I did or not, sunglasses and a cigar hanging out of my mouth, and Taylor looked at me and said, the governor has arrived, you know, and with his southern drawl. He either call me the governor or the mayor. I forgot which, but he'd throw both of them out. The governor. So every time I saw him, the governor coming to dinner with us tonight, you know, and that just kind of was a hoot. So some of the relationships, as you already know, that you form with the other radio crews from other schools from around the country when you get to them, because there's a respect for each other, too, of the craft and what they do. And you all know what it goes in behind what you're doing.
Before we let you go, the last thing I wanted to ask you, we've talked about it with Frank, we talked about it with Russ a couple of weeks ago, but the relationship of our crew and what that means, it goes more than just to the people that you hang out with for the 6 hours long that we're on air on a Saturday. And we talked about Ryan and Chris Blair, Chris Draper in that as well, but being able to make that almost your second family and be so involved in everybody's lives. It's a big part of what we do.
We were all there for your wedding.
That's right.
Isn't that crazy? When are we going
to
be there?
The fact we got Russ to Statesboro before football season, I think, is a win in and of itself.
And he brought his bride with him.
Yeah.
So he looked a lot better.
Oh, for sure.
Here. And Frank brought the whole family. But you're right. We spend an awful lot of time together. And we're on the road and all our little quirks and everything else. But it just kind of works, right? You fit in as a team, you're traveling together, and brothers, and you're on the road, some good trips, some not so good trips. And again, you got to know the tendencies of each other, when to pick and when not to pick. But I think brother is a good phrase to use there. Of course, on my end, I'm the old guy, so I may be that crazy uncle. Not sure.
Either way, it's still part of the family.
It is still part of the family. It's relationships that will move on, because eventually, let's be real, Danny will move on eventually. You will move on eventually. When I say that Danny and Colin, you know, right, because you guys are really good at what you do, and this is what you do. This is your craft. This is your profession, is broadcasting. So I would imagine there'll be other opportunities for them along the way, just like Chris Blair got an opportunity to move on, just like Ryan Chambers does. And the good thing about that is it'll enable us, for what y'all have done, to be able to get some other great broadcasting that may fit in with the group as well, just be differently, of course.
Terry, appreciate your time. Appreciate everything that you do for both Georgia Southern and for me. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you, my friends. Good to see that way. I'm just glad she said yes and she didn't run out. I was expecting Rachel to go full sprint. Say, no way. I'm out of here.
She knows I can't catch her.
Well, yeah. Because, yeah. No, she's an athlete. That's real. She's cool. No, that was a beautiful wedding. Congratulations to you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Great to see your family and her family. I'm pumped about that. So she's, I guess now she could be a member of the Wives Club, right?
I guess so.
Yeah, that's what that little ring does, right?
Her, Lori, Frank's Lori.
Yeah, we won't pick on the other guy.
No,
we're not going to put that pressure on him.
No.
That's not cool. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate you. Thanks, Eagle Nation, for always listening. And, of course, go Eagles. G-A-T-A. Just one more time.
And how many times have we heard G-A-T-A, just one more time? Don't try to do the math. It'll just mess you up.
No, I love listening to him talk about, especially his... not just him coming to Statesboro playing for Irk, but becoming part of the crew with Chris, with Ryan, bringing in everybody. And there are times where, personally, I'm still trying to catch up. I know I've been here since 15. It's hard to believe this is going to be year 7 here already. But there are some stories that he tells where, look, you've heard him 100,000 times, but there are some where I don't know if I've heard that one.
Yeah.
He has such a way. And for someone, I know you went here. I didn't go to school here. I hadn't spent much time in Georgia outside of a couple of work things when I moved here, moved to this part of the country back in 08, but he makes you feel like you went here.
Yeah, and I'm to the point where I've heard most of his stories, but the way he tells stories, and he mentioned it in the interview about how a lot of the ways that he learned about storytelling was from Irk, who was a great storyteller, obviously. But you can feel that connection, and Terry makes you think his stories are your stories. And I don't know if that makes sense, but it feels like when he tells that story that you can feel like you were just sitting there watching it.
He's the best I've ever seen at building relationships.
Oh, no doubt. And that's why he... is and is going to work so well in the, I guess it's not new role anymore. He's been here since April. But newer role that he's taken on with Georgia Southern Sports
Broadcast. I'm happy that he did mention a couple things that he's already done food-wise that's going to be coming to Paulson Stadium. That just scratches the surface of some of the things that Eagle Nation is going to see inside the gates this year.
Yeah.
We're going to have a very different sound broadcast-wise. He mentioned Select Source with starting lineups. You're going to hear that with football, but that'll span basketball and into baseball as well. But there is so much that he has already done, and there's even more that he's going to do with his knowledge, his relationships in this Eagle Nation that we love all across the Southeast, and with the guidance and the assistance of people like Chris Davis, Jared Benko, Eric Reisner, and the staff that Jared has put together. We're in such a good position. And I know that I've said this a bunch before, but I don't know if there's anybody else that could do this job.
No, not to the way he
no.
is going to. Always great to catch up with Terry, and I say catch up with Terry. I see him every day now
yeah.
in the office pretty much, but it's good having him in Statesboro. Like normally we would talk, if not every day, every other day normally, but getting to see him, getting to hang out with him a little bit, and it's definitely a lot of fun.
He'd be down here during football season maybe once, twice a week, and that's not including home games or traveling. There's still a lot of things that he had his hands in when he was living in Macon, and I didn't realize that he had been in Macon as long as he had. But to know that now, instead of having to call him and wait for him to get here,
you just hunt him down.
He's here. His family's here. Jillian's going to school, and that blows my mind. From the first time I met her to now, she's going to be a freshman in college. His other daughters have done so well. It is great to have someone that is as passionate about this place and what it means as he is to have him back where it all started.
No doubt about it. Again, we've got Sun Belt Conference Media Day coming up. We will leave tomorrow, get into New Orleans about 11 o'clock, meet up with Jay Walker and Craig Melanson, who
hopefully
I think have been down there for about 3 days now.
Look, Jay's been traveling all summer. He went to Kauai for over a week. I think he's in New Orleans now. I guess he's scouting everything out since we've got to worry about our new digs, but we'll see just about everybody else.
I guess he's the host now.
Of course he is.
He would be the host of the Mac and McGraw down there.
For those that don't know, Fide Brockmeyer, you'll be able to understand that one a little bit more. We about had that. We had a round table before the baseball tournament started.
We were close to it. We were missing a couple key pieces. But
thankfully, that was a very nice and big round table at the Renaissance.
No kidding. But we will be, again, Danny mentioned it earlier, we will be at Sunbelt Conference Media Day. We will be live from 1 to 3 o'clock on Facebook Live with our Media Day coverage. We are going to also be kind of sharing and letting you know when everybody else that we are not affiliated with, but friends with. I know JT Crabtree from South Alabama. I think they're going to be on from 11 to 1, which would be 12 to 2 Eastern time, I think. Look at that.
All took got this, that. That's all, got this that all took.
Yeah, I'm still not used to this. I sit here and play with it all the time. You probably saw it. But they're going to be on from 12 to 2 Eastern for South Alabama. Different shows throughout the day of the different broadcasters from around the league. I think everybody outside of Barry McKnight, who is stuck at SEC Media Days, since they're going on at the same time, everybody's going to be down there in some way, shape, or form. We will let you know when they will be on, and so you can tune into them, check out their archives, so you can learn everything and anything you would want to know about the Sun Belt Conference. Because, and we've talked about this before, not only are the people that we talk about, whether it be JT Crabtree, Brant Freeman, I know there's a bunch of people from Texas State going to be coming down. He and Clint both going to be coming down as well. But think of people like Jay Walker and even different people that we've met that are not necessarily the team broadcasters. You mentioned Adam Hunsucker, the beat writer, but a lot of different people that not only are good people and we enjoy hanging out with, but are really good at covering their specific school and the Sun Belt Conference and getting different information out there.
I think Arkansas State sends 3 different shows. They have they have 2 radio stations that do shows. And then I think Matt Stoltz, the great voice of the Red Wolves, I think he does something for astateredwolves.com. So they take up about one full side of radio
ballroom.
I mean, you don't think of Radio Row as having sides, but this is this back quarter that we were talking about before. They're about occupying one whole area, and there are times where some are on in the morning, they wrap up, some people go on in the afternoon, so they occupy the same space. But how this is all going to look, I'm not exactly sure, but the fact that it's happening is the most important thing.
Hey, you've got Matt Stoltz, Brad Bobo, and I don't know if Kara Ritchie's going to be coming down. Or
she typically hasn't. I feel like Jay would know that before we did.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't think she has before. That doesn't mean she won't. But
and there's a chance that throughout our Facebook Live, going to be about 2 hours. Again, with it being Facebook Live, we don't have a hard cutoff time. So if we're rolling with something, we don't have to be done at 3.
Just keep on going.
But there's a good chance that you're going to see some of our friends pop on our Facebook Live to talk about not only their affiliation, but also what they see of the Sun Belt Conference. You've got a lot of different perspectives, a lot of people that have been in the Sun Belt Conference for a lot of years and seen a lot of Sun Belt Conference football. So it's going to be a lot of fun to catch up with everybody and get to talk football.
Now, we know usually we've been able to say a specific time for the other head coaches in the league that Georgia Southern is going to play. We're doing it differently this year. We're still going to talk with those head coaches. Yeah. You're just going to see those interviews a little bit later on as we get throughout the course of the rest of the summer. This way, we're setting a course of 2 hours. That way, you know exactly what you're going to be listening to and when you're going to be listening to it. And then everybody else, like, for instance, Jake Spavital of Texas State, who we haven't had a chance to visit with yet. We were there in 19, didn't play the Bobcats in 19, played them last year, but didn't have media day, so we haven't visited with him yet. We'll talk with Arkansas State's Butch Jones. We'll talk with new head coach at South Alabama, Kane Womack, 3 of the 5 in the Western new. And then, of course, Sean Clark, Chad Lunsford, Jamie Chadwell, and everybody else across the league. We'll talk with Commissioner Gill. Those will be sprinkled throughout that day and maybe a little bit more on towards the summer. And this is something we haven't pushed before, but all of this is going to be archived.
Yeah.
So when it gets broken down, you'll have the two-hour Georgia Southern-specific segment and then the other interviews with the other head coaches. Those will all be archived on our Facebook page, on the Georgia Southern Sports Network Facebook page, and you can go back and listen to those whenever you want to.
And that kind of leads me into something I was going to talk about while we're at media day, but we can go ahead and do it. And I don't think I've even told you about this yet, but going to be starting a YouTube channel as well for the Georgia Southern Sports Network, so we can go and archive different things on YouTube, and you can go and it'll have a playlist of all of our interviews, a lot like you'll see with different podcasts that do certain interviews, and they'll be categorized by what they're affiliated. So we'll have like a Sun Belt Conference media day playlist, and you can go and listen and watch all the different interviews that we do there. But a lot of different things going to be popping up the next couple weeks.
So that's two breaking news items that we have unleashed on Inside Eagle Nation. The fact that we're on it, one on Thursday, and the official release of the YouTube channel.
What is it, Chamber G Stew? Do, 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 do.
I can still hear that.
Yeah, 100%.
Do we have a U pick?
We do. Comes from our buddy David up in Canton. And he wants to know, what does a Sun Belt Conference media day look like? And a lot of it, we're going to be kind of finding out on the fly a little bit this year, but kind of give you an idea what the purpose of it is and what it's looked like in the past. Usually about 8 in the morning or so, which would be 9 Eastern, it'll be the State of the Conference address. So Commissioner Keith Gill will get up to the podium. He will kind of give you a State of the Conference address, let you know some of the new things, some of the things that have happened in the past year of what the Sun Belt Conference looks like and where it's going for.
And he's going to have a lot of good things to talk about on Thursday.
Yes, he is, including his own contract extension. And then he will take questions from the media, and that will go up on the sunbeltsports.org. They also got a new rendition of the site, a new makeover. But that'll be on sunbeltsports.org. And then it kind of breaks into everybody's different media sessions. As we talked about, the head coach and two players will be there for each institution. And then you'll have different officiating coordinators. You'll have different people from the league that'll be there as well. But there's a 30-minute window for each school that they will be at the podium. And this will be at the Sheridan again this year, as we mentioned earlier. They will be at the podium. Coach Lunsford for the Georgia Southern time slot. Coach Lunsford will get up to the podium, make a statement, and then anybody that is there as far as media goes, they'll be able to ask questions and whatnot. A lot of that is not your radio side. You'll have Radio Row off to the other side, but this are the beat writers, the different media personnel from everywhere across the Sun Belt Conference landscape. But being able to ask questions, get questions for both Coach Lunsford and the two players, and you'll have 30 minutes for each institution, what they call at the podium.
Yeah, so Coach is actually fielding the live questions.
Yeah.
Players are typically set in an area right next to that. There's a divider. They have these stretched out tables where anybody at any time can go sit by them, ask them whatever, but it's more or less the players just kind of sitting there and waiting for people to come and initiate an interview or initiate conversation with them. While when the coach gets up to the podium, he's saying something about his school, what he thinks his team is going to look like this year, what he thinks the league is going to look like this year, and then he gets dots with questions until his allotment is finished. And then they go to their media specific, where Chad will come talk to us, he'll go talk to Arkansas State, he'll talk to South Alabama, he'll go through that car wash that we've talked about before, and that's what takes up a good majority of the rest of the day. They do break about half hour for lunch, which is typically right in the middle of the room, but with it being at the Sheraton this year, I don't know exactly where or how that's going to be. But we do know that from our experiences in the Superdome, we occupied an entire floor where we would go in and see the helmets of all the teams, some banners and some signs representing some of the facts and figures that the Sun Belt has enjoyed and still the top FBS ball winning percentage now over the last 5 years. But then you've got tables with all the media guides and all league apparel. You've got tables for all media to be able to do their work sessions. Photographers can plug in, upload all their photos. You've got the constant food area. And then off to the sides, the interview places, then way in the back in that corner was our Radio Row. And I guess that's going to be a little bit of bridge this year, since it could be us in a big room. We just don't know yet because we haven't been given the specs of the situation yet.
Yeah, and we will probably earlier in the day do a less formal Facebook Live, kind of showing you what the setup looks like and kind of take you into Sun Belt Conference Media Day. I know on Georgia Southern Athletics social media, there's going to be a lot of behind-the-scenes content from Coach Lunsford, Todd Bradley Glenn, J.D. King, and I know Brian Johnson and Megan Lieben putting that together for you over the next couple days. But we do have breaking news. This is breaking news.
This is a record. This is our third breaking news of the day.
And we're going a little bit over what we normally do in an hour, but the Sun Belt Conference just released the preseason awards and poll.
Oh.
You are learning this as we are.
Wow.
So if we're a little off-kilter, you'll know why. Preseason Offensive Player of the Year is Grayson McCall from Coastal Carolina at quarterback. I don't know that there's a whole lot of shock there. Preseason Defensive Player of the Year, somebody we've talked about a lot that we really like watching play, except when Georgia Southern plays them, is Troy's linebacker, Carlton Marshall. He's one of the best of the best.
So I'll tell you, I'm 2 for 2 on my voting.
There you go. Sun Belt Conference preseason first team all-conference. We're not going to go through the entire thing, just kind of hit the Georgia Southern people that are on it. Nobody on the first team offense. On defense, Derek Canteen at a DB for the redshirt sophomore. Preseason second team, J.D. King makes the running back for second team all-Sun Belt, as does Aaron Dowdell at offensive line. On the second team defense, looking up and down, nobody on the second-team defense. Georgia Southern does have two on the second-team special teams, as Anthony Beck, second-team punter, and Caleb Hood, return specialist.
Excellent.
And then when you get into the preseason coaches poll, Appalachian State and Coastal Carolina are tied with 44 points apiece. Coastal Carolina.
Yeah. That's what we were talking about earlier, Google.
Yeah, yeah. So Coastal Carolina did get 6 first-place votes.
Okay.
App State got 4 of them, but it all totals out somehow to 44 points apiece. And then you've got a bigger drop-off than I kind of anticipated, with Georgia State coming in third place with 24 points, Georgia Southern and fourth place in the East with 20 points, and Troy 2 points behind them in fifth place with 18 points.
That's the motivation portion of the standings. That lower portion, those
correct.
Are the motivated teams.
In the Western Division, a lot like we talked about, Louisiana with 9 first-place votes. You can't vote for your own school, so Louisiana had to vote for somebody.
Put that together.
They voted for Arkansas State. Louisiana with 49 points. Arkansas State comes in second in the Western Division preseason poll with 38 points. South Alabama makes a pretty good jump up to third place with 27 points.
That surprises me a little
bit. It does. Texas State jumps up to 25 points in fourth place, and then ULM sits in the bottom in fifth place in the Western Division with 11 points. And so, again, your preseason poll on the East, it's Coastal Carolina and App tied for the top spot, Georgia State in third, Georgia Southern in fourth, Troy in fifth, Louisiana leads the Western Division with 9 first-place votes, Arkansas State in second, South Alabama jumps up to third, Texas State in fourth, and ULM in fifth in the West. Initial reaction, because, again, we didn't know this was coming out today. Yeah, we talked about it earlier that we thought it was coming out in the next couple of days. We meant next couple of minutes. I saw the tweet come out and said, whoa, let's pull that up real quick.
Look, there should not have been a single doubt in anyone's mind that Louisiana was going to pick to win the West. And no. I don't think that that's just a preseason pick. I think that they should be the runaway favorite. They probably should do it. And that's not thinking about any situation that's going to come down this year. I know they're going to have 2 new running backs, but Levi Lewis is back at quarterback. Almost all that defense is back. And that's all you really need to know about what Billy Napier has done over the last 3 years.
Think they're going to be better?
Well, they only lost one game last year, so they're going to have to figure out a way. I mean, he's won 21 games in 2 years. They've never done that at Louisiana, so he's got to find a way to continue to move them up the group of five food chain, you would think. And then as far as second place in the West, I mean, Arkansas State, it's a changeover. They keep their OC in Keith Heckendorf after he wasn't initially kept on staff. They had to hire someone after the original hiree from Coach Butch Jones ended up going on A.J. Milwee, ended up being the quarterback's coach for Steve Sarkisian at Texas. But even though the OC is there, even though the quarterback Lane Hatcher is back, he's going to have to fight with James Blackman to keep his position. There's just a whole lot about that team you don't know because he's turning over half the roster. Jake Spavadal at Texas State had to do 2 years ago. I think Texas State is the dark horse in the West. I think that this should be their best season since they won 7 games back in 2014. New staff at South Alabama. Kane Womack takes over. His defenses were very good the 2 years that he was there in 16 and 17. They've got to find a way to get their offense better. And then with ULM, 0-10 last year, they didn't lead at any point during those 10 games. You felt bad for Matt Viator because he's such a good guy. He was the right guy at that time for that situation, but that is a really difficult spot to be in. But they went name power. They got Terry Bowden. They bring in Rhett Rodriguez to transfer in from Arizona. He's going to fight with Colby Suits if he's still on the roster at that point to be the quarterback. Rich Rodriguez is the offensive coordinator. So there is a lot of attention that's going to be placed on Monroe, Louisiana, just for those two hires and Rhett Rod coming in to maybe run his dad's offense.
That's a great name, Rhett Rodriguez.
Yeah.
That just sounds like a quarterback.
And then in the East, look, I know that Coastal and App are probably going to be 1-2 in some way, shape, and form, but there's a case that you can make in the East for all 5 teams to win that division.
Yeah.
And I don't care that Coastal finished 12th in the college football playoff standings last year. I don't care that App has won all 6 of its bowl games. You just have so much back in the East. All 5 head coaches, we mentioned the Georgia State specifically, they have all 11 starters back on offense. I think Quad Brown is a really good quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, it pains us to say it. Pains us to talk well about Georgia State, but Quad Brown is a really good quarterback. Sam Pinckney's a good wide receiver. Cornelius McCoy, a really good wide receiver. Troy has to be better. They went from not having a defense to having a much improved defense last year. They couldn't find quarterback consistency because Gunnar Watson got hurt, but enter Taylor Powell, transfer from Missouri. He could challenge for that job, so you don't know who's taking their snaps. They did lose a little bit off their wide receiving core with a couple of guys transferring out, and then Georgia Southern. The Justin Tomlin era prohibitively is going to begin against Gardner Webb on September the 4th. Now, you don't know what you're going to get from a Sam Kenderson. You don't know what you're going to get from a Cam Ransom. How is James Graham going to work into the plans now that he has been moved to wide receiver? We know the Georgia Southern defense has been really good since Scott Sloan came here from App. They've been top 3 in the league in total D the last 3 seasons. But when you take Rashad Byrd, Renard Ellis, Raymond Johnson out of the equation, you know the secondary is going to be pretty good, even with Kendrick Duncan transferring. But how is it all going to fit together?
And it goes back to the parity that we seem to talk year in and year out in the Sun Belt Conference. You mentioned in the East, you could make a case for everybody 1-5 winning the division. On the Western side, everybody 2-5, you can make a case for challenging Louisiana for that 2 spot in the West. I think, as we've talked about, Louisiana's kind of the runaway in the West, or supposed to be the runaway in the West for the Sun Belt Conference. But I think Arkansas State, South Alabama, Texas State, and ULM, all of those teams are going to be much improved, and you could make a case for any of them trying to fight for that top spot and challenge Louisiana a little bit. But the thing that I think is going to be a lot of conversation the next couple of days down in New Orleans that I haven't really heard a whole lot about yet. How many quarterback battles there are in the Sun Belt this year? And a lot of it goes back to the transfer portal and different guys transferring in. You don't know what you're going to get from certain guys from the transfer portal, but there are so many different teams that you look and say, okay, well, if this guy's the quarterback, it changes a little bit. If this guy's the quarterback, it changes a little bit. For Georgia Southern, we've talked about the quarterback battle, and you would think that Justin Tomlin and Coach Lunsford have said Justin Tomlin is kind of the guy for him to have the job if it were to break camp right now. But that doesn't say a Sam Kinnerson, a Ransom, so many different guys could battle for that job. And I think this is probably the most quarterback battles. And it's not, okay, this guy's a returning starter, but there's guys that could challenge him when everybody knows that's the guy that's going to be the starter. I think there's a lot of true quarterback battles in the Sun Belt this year.
If you want to get technical, you could say as many as 7 of the 10 teams are having quarterback battles.
Yeah.
Levi Lewis is unquestioned in Louisiana. Yes. Grayson McCall better be unquestioned at Coastal after the year that he had last year. And you could say Quad Brown at Georgia State. I think those are the three that are pretty set. And look, if you want to, you could say that Justin Tomlin is going to be the guy. But for somebody that has only started 4 games in 3 years, I don't know if I want to jump fully into that part of the pool yet, because Cam Ransom could come in, blow up in camp, and he may be necessary early in the season. A Sam Kinnerson may see his role explode. Maybe he gets on the field more in addition to just being a quarterback. We might see him at slot and take over the role that Wesley Kennedy had for the last 4 seasons. But you've also got, how is Caleb Hood going to be utilized? Amari Jones is a new toy that Doug Roos will get a chance to play with now that he has transferred in from Tulane. You've got a loaded skill set at running back.
Yeah.
And it's Doug Roos who has more than enough experience with different systems. We know that Georgia Southern is probably going to be a little bit more up-tempo this year offensively, but how do you feed a lot of hungry mouths?
Again, the Sun Belt Conference preseason poll and preseason teams were just announced for Georgia Southern. The lone first team all preseason was Derek Canteen at defensive back. Then you had J.D. King at running back, Aaron Dowdell at offensive line. Then you had Anthony Beck at punter, Caleb Hood at return specialist on the second team as well. Georgia Southern picked 4th in the Eastern Division, but there is a total of 6 points that separate 3rd through 5th in the Eastern Division, with Coastal Carolina and Appalachian State taking the top 2 spots, and they are technically tied at the top, even though Coastal Carolina did get more first-place votes, 2 more than Appalachian State.
Well, the goal is to make sure that Coastal versus App this year does not determine the East Division Championship, because I think that's what a lot of people are expecting. There is some love for Troy. There is some love for Georgia State. There's not a whole lot of love for Georgia Southern nationally right now. That doesn't mean the Eagles can't surprise, because that's exactly what they did in 2014. Nothing was expected. 8-0 in conference play, league championship. Who knows?
So we will dive into everything over the next couple of days in Sun Belt Conference Football Media Day on Thursday. We will be live on Facebook Live from Georgia Southern Athletics starting at 1 o'clock, going from 1 o'clock until 3-ish, maybe a little bit later.
Until they tell us we need to get on the play to get back home.
Yeah, we're not on a hard cut for 3 o'clock, but it'll be somewhere around 1 to 3. We will start at 1 o'clock. That much I can't tell you.
No, this is enjoyable. I'm looking forward to getting down there, seeing the new setup, and just seeing how excited everybody is to get back to hopefully the way things were not too long ago.
We will talk to you on Thursday when we dive into anything and everything Sun Belt Conference football down from New Orleans at the Sheridan for Sun Belt Conference Media Days. Until then, for the voice of the Eagles, Danny Reed, this is Colin Lacey saying so long, everybody.
You've been listening to Inside Eagle Nation, powered by Learfield, the official podcast of Georgia Southern Athletics.